Looking for a versatile and reliable SUV? The 2025 Honda CR-V is here, and Brandon Honda has an exceptional offer just for you. Right now, you can lease the new CR-V for only $199 a month for 36 months, or choose a 1.9% APR for 36 months if you prefer to finance. With its spacious interior, advanced safety features, and impressive fuel efficiency, the CR-V is perfect for both daily commutes and weekend adventures. Don't miss out on this limited time deal. Visit BrandonHonda.com. Or stop by their dealership on Adamo Drive today. When you arrive, be sure to ask for Sam. That's BrandonHonda.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. And our American ride today took us all the way to Washington, D.C. and the White House campus. Hello, everybody. We have got a great three-hour show lined up for you today, broadcasting live from the White House. Some incredible guests as we begin celebrating 100 years, the first 100 days, rather, of the Trump administration. I don't think people would mind 100 years of this kind of success. But we've got some great guests. Our good friend, Border Czar Tom Holman, is going to drop by a little bit later on. Also, Paula White from the White House Faith Office, she's going to be here as well. But we are very excited to have probably one of the most important people in the administration. She is the Secretary of Labor, Lori Chavez Deremer, Secretary. Welcome to the show. And wow, what a great spread you guys have here at the White House.
Well, thank you so much. I'm honored to be here. I know at the top of the show you said 100 years, but 100 days, we are almost there. And under this president, it's going fast, and we're moving.
I'm wondering if you're prepared. I know you've been in Congress, you've been a mayor, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. But were you prepared for how fast and how quickly this administration is moving?
Well, you know, you hear word on the street is this president never takes a break. He works hard, and he, you know, developed a really formidable team who's willing to work just as hard. And I think that's the exciting part. It feels like we are nonstop moving along, and we're accomplishing exactly what we set out to do.
There does seem to be an excitement in the country, and especially among business owners. I own a small business, and it feels like somebody at the White House is listening to us, and someone in the administration really is paying attention to what's happening out there and bringing jobs back to America.
Yeah, bringing jobs back is number one key in the Department of Labor. But just touching on, you mentioned I was a mayor. I'm a business owner as well. What people want is the government to work for them, not against them. And that's what they were looking for. So now they feel like they have a voice at the table of business owners, of people who've been on the ground. And that's why it's so exciting to work under this president.
A friend instead of an adversary.
That's right.
We had Congresswoman Erin Houchin on the show. And I know that y'all were in Congress together.
That's right.
And she was so excited about an initiative to bring bicycles back to America. Most people didn't realize more than 97% of bicycles are made outside of this country. And now there's an effort to bring those bicycles and have those bicycles made right here in the good old U.S. of A.
Well, certainly a shout out to Erin Houchin, a good friend of mine. And so, Erin, if you're listening, way to go on talking jobs and bringing back manufacturing. It's been really over the last 20 years, we've seen manufacturing just be decimated, losing millions of jobs. And our goal under the president is to rebuild America and bring back manufacturing jobs. And that means all kinds of manufacturing jobs, whether we're talking national security, whether we're talking about, you know, all of the instrumental foundational reasons that we need to be the leader across the world. The president has first and foremost done that. And then my job is to go around the country and really talk about what manufacturing jobs we want to repatriate.
There's a great old and it was, I believe it was called Dave. It was about a guy that was a doppelganger for the president, and the whole point was bringing jobs back to, you know, America. And they're talking about there's something noble about having a job, and, you know, getting up in the morning and know that you're working with your hands, you're producing something. And I wonder over the years if we've lost that, and it's so exciting now to see that revival of that attitude here in the country.
You know, I'm glad you bring that up, because when I think about you know, I'm 57 years old, and think about the industrial age and working with your hands and really building. I grew up in farm community, San Joaquin Valley of California, and it was important to have your first job and get out there. I packed peaches for a living right when my first job, and now, you know, when you talk about the tech sector, people thought, gosh, you're not going to build anymore with your hands. That's not the case. The president wants this, so you talk about the trades, apprenticeships, how we need that. Those foundational jobs to build our highways, you know, build our manufacturing plants and really grow back the economy in America. And that's what we're focused
on.
See,
I knew there was a Gen X vibe going down here because I'm 57 as well.
Oh, there you
so
go.
At my first job, I was a biscuit maker at Popeye's Fried Chicken and Biscuits.
There
and
you
I
go.
Was very good at my job. But you're right. I mean, this one of the things I just loved about President Trump in his first term in office was really restoring the trade arts, you know, and letting people know you can have a great career as a plumber or an electrician or a construction worker. And those are important jobs. And those are jobs that make America strong.
Well, those are our neighbors. Those are our family members. You understand that it takes all kinds, takes a village to build a community. Again, as a former mayor, understanding who our community was built by and for. The president recognizes that. He is the president of the American worker. While many other presidents think that they were, absolutely not the case. He cares about the American worker. And my direction from him was to focus on that. And if we could stay focused on the American worker, we could have really great paying jobs. Whether they were, not everybody's going to go to a four-year college. We're seeing the trades come back. When I was in high school, we had shop class. Those all went away. Those are coming back in full force.
It's true. No, you're absolutely right. And again, when you look at where we're going in this 100 days, where we have been, a lot of concern about the tariffs. But the reality is, and I think the president did a great job of describing it, is, yeah, there is going to be some short-term pain for long-term gain here, you know, bringing these jobs back to America.
Well, the president is really wide-eyed, clearly focused, has a plan, repatriating a lot of these companies who left our country from the past administration and previous to that. We want to build those jobs back in America and then grow from there. We understand, yes, it's the first 100 days, but he's a master negotiator. I mean, I've seen it. We've watched it. We have discussions with the president as cabinet secretaries. And what we're seeing is the investments. Trillions of dollars are already coming back. So the tariffs are working. The negotiations are working. Honda is coming back from Canada and Mexico. Vehicle production up 30%. We got word yesterday, Greek yogurt maker Chobani is investing $1.2 billion in a New York plant. That matters to the people of New York. It matters to the people of Michigan, our Midwestern states who've built these automobiles. That's going to rebuild those
communities.
This
is breaking news. Our yogurt is being made in America again, where it should be.
That's exactly
I love this. No, but it's, again, it's just made in America. There's just something I was telling Congresswoman Houchin, we're going to have to, like, make sure more Band-Aids are made in America. We're going to get more bicycles, you know, with the scraped knees.
That's exactly
but
right.
It's an exciting thing, and again, to see people with pride in their hearts and on their faces, you know, as they're going in and working those long days on the job, you know, that is an American work ethic, and I'm glad we've got it back in this country.
Well, you know, our job number last month, 228,000 new jobs in the workforce. A lot of those, most of those were in manufacturing. We've seen almost 9,000 jobs over the last 2 months come back to this country.
Private sector.
That's right, but that's what's important.
Yeah.
You know, when we're seeing any public jobs come back, they're at the local level. That's what we want. We want these private sector jobs to grow. I have made a commitment to visit all 50 states. We've kicked off our America at Work tour, and we're on the ground, and we're talking to the American worker. That's what matters most. They want good mortgage-paying jobs. We want to protect our American workers. We want them safe, and we want them to know that they're going to keep more of their hard-earned dollars under this president.
I would love to have you on for all 3 hours, but we can't do that. Before we let you go, though, I am so impressed. You were the mayor of Happy Valley.
Happy Valley, Oregon.
Wow.
That's right.
Was it really a happy place?
You know what? It was a happy place. We were one of the fastest growing cities in Oregon during my tenure. And it was building that full picture of what a community could look like. How do we count on each other? You know, my husband and I, we went to high school together. So we've been together almost 40 years. And we thought we'd grow up in the same hometown and then stay there. There's a lot of little hometowns that people need to invest in. So the local level, my heart is in local politics. And now as the labor secretary, I can go to all those communities. communities and make sure that I'm doing my job.
Well, again, congratulations for the great work that's happening, and thanks for dropping by the show today.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All
Hope
right.
You have me back.
Labor Secretary Lori Chavez Duremer, ladies and gentlemen, great American patriot, and she's just crushing it over there in the Labor Department. Folks, here's the deal. We're going to reset the show, but we do have to take a quick break as we celebrate here in the White House campus. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Are you tired of destructive content flooding your screens? Well, I know I was, and that's why I joined the Angel Guild community. I wanted entertainment that inspires and uplifts, not drags us down. And with Angel Guild, I can vote on upcoming films and support movies that reflect values that I align with. Plus, I get early access to inspiring content. I no longer have Hollywood Entertainment pushing its agenda into my home. Angel Studios is leading the charge, creating high-quality, faith-filled films like Sound of Freedom, Cabrini, and my favorite, Homestead. Great movie, great series, by the way. These movies are powerful, impactful, and a must-see if you haven't already. If you want to make a real difference, where we put our dollars shapes the future of entertainment. So let's support content that amplifies light and protects our kids from harmful influences. Please join me in making a difference today. Visit angel.com/Starnes. That's angel.com/Starnes to join the Angel Guild now. And welcome back to the Todd Stern's Radio Show. So very happy to have you guys with us. We are broadcasting today from the White House and celebrating 100 days. I can't believe I said 100 years, but it's 100 days of the Trump White House. And we've got some great guests lined up. Very kind of the White House to extend an invitation. And we are going to have a great couple of hours together today, folks. I want you to write down our telephone number and you get to grade the administration. How is the administration doing 100 days in? 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. And we're going to be taking your calls throughout the day. I will say this, Ben Dieter, the you never know who you're going to meet, but we just had the Labor Secretary on, and she did a terrific job. And I knew there was a Gen X vibe going on there, so you can just kind of sense it, right? We're kind of like of the same generation. But it turns out that one of the members of her press team is actually from the Memphis area, so you never know when you're gonna run into somebody from the 901.
That's incredible. Are you having fun, Todd? I'm holding back the fort in Memphis, but what's Washington like? What's the hustle and bustle?
Yeah, it's been pretty amazing. And again, going back to the promise that President Trump made, one of those was to clean up Washington, D.C. And I will tell you, and Dalton Glasscock, the CEO of Stearns Media Group, is with us. It's really fascinating how they've been able to do that. I mean, there are not a lot of homeless people on the streets, not a lot of crime here in D.C. And I think that's as a result of the promise President Trump made to clean up and to make our nation's capital city beautiful again.
That's incredible. Todd, I mean, you're talking to the big guns today. I mean, I was looking at your rundown. I mean, who all is coming and dropping by your show? This is incredible.
It really is. And as a matter of fact, Rick Grenell dropped by just a few moments ago and got a chance to chat with him. He was tasked with making the Kennedy Center relevant again, and among other things. And we had a good little visit. Also, Harrison Fields, and he's been on the show quite a bit. He's going to be on our Newsmax show tonight at 5 o'clock. So this has been a lot of fun. We are, going to be here all 3 hours of the show. A little bit later on, the Border Czar Tom Homan is going to drop by, and I suspect he's going to break some news on the Todd Stern's radio show. But again, Ben, when you look at the ferocity of this administration and how quickly they are getting things done, they realize the clock is ticking. They realize that it's not 4 years, it's really 2 years. We've got the midterm elections coming up. And the broader issue here is, what will the Republicans in Congress do? And that seems to be a big challenge. Will congressional Republicans be able to push through the president's agenda? And I think that is really the unanswered question that we're dealing with here in the nation's capital.
Yeah, and then to also and it was interesting with your conversation with the labor secretary. Get the people that listen to this show really across the nation the information. And I think that probably, Todd, is why you got the invite. I had someone say, did this just show up in Todd's inbox? Did they want you there, Todd, to broadcast this information? For example, you were talking earlier about the military recruitment numbers are up and no one's talking about it. You listened to your last guest, those jobs that are coming back, those small businesses that are booming, and yet the media cycle is filled with noise and chaos and distraction, and probably for good reason.
And that's a good, and that's a fair point. And we are going to be talking about Pete Hegseth and his viability. Now, of course, publicly, the White House and the comms team saying that, and President Trump himself saying that he is firmly behind Pete Hegseth. I would not be surprised, though, if we see less of the Secretary of Defense in the media doing those interviews. It's probably time for the Secretary of Defense to pull back a little bit and focus more on, you know, his job as at the Pentagon. So I wouldn't be terribly surprised if we see that happening. But as it stands now, you know, look, this White House, they understand what they're dealing with the media, the Democrats, and quite frankly, establishment Republicans who are looking for a scalp, and they seem to think they have it in Pete Hegseth. Right now, though, Hegseth is pretty secure in his position here.
Yeah. Todd, the most transparent White House in America, how has the exclusives been? I mean, for you to get these interviews with these secretaries and cabinet members, did you have the luxury of that under the past couple administrations?
No, not at all. Not at all.
But this is your old stomping ground. You used to do reporting from this building.
So this is the great irony. I was never at the White House during a Republican administration. I was the correspondent for Fox Radio during the Obama years. So I never really got a chance to be a part of the Bush administration or the first Trump administration. So it is kind of fun to be back in the old stomping grounds. And they did tell me they were going to take me back to my old office in the White House press briefing room. I had a little closet I used to work from back in the day. So, and I think we're also going to be meeting up with Caroline Leavitt, the White House press secretary, a little bit later on this afternoon as well.
That's so cool. That's so cool. Yeah, Todd, also getting this word from Memphis, you got to put in a word to the border czar when you talk to him in a couple minutes that he needs to get his act to Memphis, Tennessee. We've got some illegals here that we need to take care of.
All right, so you want me to ask the border czar, Tom Homan,
yes,
the most important man in the administration right now, if he will just stop what he's doing and come to Memphis and pick up some illegals.
I am going to ask politely on behalf of really Tennessee to get Tom
right
here.
I will do that for the great listeners of KWAM Radio. I will do that. Folks, again, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. How is the president doing? Are you satisfied with what the Trump administration is doing? Should they be doing something different? Give us a call. Today, we are looking back on 100 days. The official anniversary is a few more days away, but the official celebration has already started here at the White House. So, again, we've got a jam-packed show for you. Coming up, we are going to be speaking to Border Czar Tom Homan. Some disturbing developments coming out of California, where Fox News has an exclusive report. And according to Fox News, you've got an illegal alien who was convicted of killing two American citizens, sentenced to prison, and it looks as though this individual is about to be set free in California. So we're going to be asking the border czar about this. Again, California getting ready to release an illegal who killed two American teenagers. So that is what we're dealing with here, folks. The reality of it all, and it's very clear, is that we have been invaded. Very dangerous people are walking our streets, killing American people, and doing horrible things to our fellow citizens. And this administration says, no more. We're not going to let that happen anymore. And the idea that California could go in and release a man who killed two teenagers. And by the way, his original sentence was only 10 years. 10 years is at the going price now for killing two American teenagers. unbelievable. So we'll check in with the border secretary and get his thoughts on that. Again, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Our website, toddstarns.com. Hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back broadcasting from the White House. Folks, we have some exciting news about MyPillow. They're having their first ever mega sale. Oh, that was... We needed some sound effects.
Where did that come from?
Mega sale. MyPillow having their first ever mega sale on overstock clearance and brand new products. For example, Ben Dieter, you're going to need these. You need 50%. You're going to save over 50% on flannel sheets. Queen size bed only $59.98. King size sheet $69.98. And they sell out fast every year. So you gotta get on and order that right now. You can also save 30% on their brand new My Crosses. They're designed in the likeness of the one that Mike Lindell has worn every day for over 20 years. They come in men's and women's styles, and they're made right here in the USA. Get the 2025 six-piece My Towel set for only $29.98. Their quantities are extremely low, so you're going to want to get them now before they go. And I can't forget to mention the best-selling standard MyPillow. I have six of them. I like a lot of pillows. $14.98. That is a huge deal. So take advantage of the first-ever mega sale. Go to MyPillow.com, use promo code STARNS, or call 800-839-8506. That's 1-800-839-8506. But wait! There's more! Remember that $75 free shipping rule, Ben Dieter?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that ship has sailed, baby. The train has left the station. Because right now, for a limited time, every order at MyPillow ships for free. MyPillow.com, promo code STARNS, or call 800-839-8506.
Get the upgrade you and your devices dream of. Switch to Frontier Fiber Internet. Plans starting at $29.99 per month for fiber 200 internet. Hurry now and get free premium Wi-Fi and free expert installation. Frontier Fiber, good to go. In select areas, price for 12 months of auto pay. ETF terms apply. Max speeds wired. Actual average and Wi-Fi speed vary.
All right, well, it is an extreme honor to welcome the border czar himself, Tom Holman. Every room you're in is officially the safest place in America. Is that what they say?
Well, look, we got the most secure border in history of this nation right now.
Remarkable, and congratulations for that. A lot of folks were wondering, could it actually be done? And I'm just curious, are you surprised at how quickly that has happened?
No, I got a great president. And because of his executive orders, because of the hard work of the men and women of the United States Border Patrol, we knew, simply, look, we did it once before, in Trump 45, right? We had the most secure border ever then. So, you know, we just turned the machine back on, remain in Mexico, through safe country agreements, and then catch and release. But you give the men and women of the Border Patrol the right to enforce the law the right way, and I knew they locked it down. They locked it down pretty quick, I mean, 7 weeks. Border numbers right now today are down 96%. We have the most secure border in history of the nation right now, at least as far back as they count records. And we did in seven weeks what Joe Biden couldn't do in four years.
What's been the morale? Because during the Biden administration, I mean, they were just beating down those border agents, the media castigating them, just terrible what was happening. What's the morale like now?
All-time high. It went from the toilet to all-time high. I've been down the border under the Biden administration more than a dozen times. I've talked to hundreds and hundreds of Border Patrol agents. I was a Border Patrol agent, and they know that. So they're comfortable talking to me. And, the morale was on the toilet. The Border Patrol, early retirements, people were just resigning out of frustration. They weren't federal law enforcement officers. They felt like tourist agents and Uber drivers, just people who enter a country illegally, which is a crime. And they were processing them, driving to an airport or bus station and sending them on their way. The morale was on the toilet. But right now, the morale is at all-time high. Rather than people resigning early or quitting, the recruiting numbers of Border Patrol right now are higher than they've ever been. So people want to be a part of this now.
You could have taken the easy path, done a desk job, but you're out there. I mean, I've seen you and, Christy Noem out there. How important is it for you to be out there, boots on the ground?
It's really important. I want the men and women of law enforcement, both Border Patrol and ICE, to know we got their six. You know, I was a Border Patrol agent. I wore that uniform. I was an ICE agent. I was the first ICE director actually came up through the ranks to the 20,000 men and women that worked for me. I never asked them to do anything that I didn't do myself as an agent. And that's what President Trump does. He's bringing leadership and has done the job. So, you know, when I meet with the men and women of Border Patrol, men and women of ICE, I get the respect because I was one of them. I know that job. I know the good things about the job. I know the bad things about the job. And one thing I bring to the table, I've worked for six different presidents, starting with Ronald Reagan. I've seen hundreds of policies come and go. I know what policies work, what policies don't. So I'm one of them. And when I retired the first time, or the second time, I promised them that I may be retiring, but I'll always have their six. And when President Trump called me to come back the second time, I didn't hesitate because I knew we could fix this. We could fix it quickly.
What were those conversations like? Did you have any doubts about stepping in and doing this when the president called?
It took me 5 seconds. He called me up. And first thing he asked me, he says, okay, well, you've been bitching about it for 4 years. You want to come back and fix it? I said, yeah. So we talked about me coming back, and I took his offer up within 5 seconds. Because I woke up every day for 4 years pissed off that we handed the administration, the Biden administration, the most secure border in my lifetime. And they unsecured it on purpose. Joe Biden's the first president in the history of this nation who came into office and unsecured the border. Even Clinton Obama took steps to secure the border because they understood you can't have strong national security if you don't have strong border security. Joe Biden's the first president in history of the nation who came into office and unsecured the border on purpose.
I'm wondering, why do you think that is? You say on purpose. What do you mean by that?
Well, 10.5 illegal aliens coming to our border was not mismanagement. It wasn't incompetence. By design. Joe Biden ran for office. He said he's going to end ICE detention. He wanted a moratorium on deportations. He wanted a war to amnesty. He wanted a war to DACA. He promised health care to every illegal alien. When you make those type of promises to the whole world, they're going to come to the greatest nation on earth, take advantage of those promises. So, again, it wasn't mismanagement, it wasn't incompetence, this is by design. And what's the long-term plan? Look, they released millions of people illegally, I believe, into this nation. They overwhelmed the system, which means what? It's going to take years to go through the courts for all these people. And they're hoping within those 5, 7, 9 years, a Democratic administration comes into power, and they're going to award amnesty to millions of people. They know in those 5, 7, 9 years, they're going to have U.S. citizen children. They're going to build equities. Then all of a sudden, no one wants them returned because they got U.S. citizen children. They're playing the long game because they see a future political benefit of the releasing millions of people into sanctuary cities across this country. They want them counted in the next census, which will result in more seats announced for the Dems. They truly believe that millions of people they illegally release in the United States are future Democratic voters. They're playing the long game.
I thought it was interesting and really ironic that the first people group that actually figured out what was going on were the residents of Chicago's South Side. And they realized, holy cow, we're being replaced here. And you had so many black Americans deciding, you know what, we're switching parties. We're voting for Donald Trump here. And I thought it was interesting that those urban centers actually saw what was going on, I think, before even some folks in the media figured it out.
Well, they're taking jobs from the black community. I mean, when I was ICE director, remember we did a case up in Chicago. We shut down a meatpacking plant or a sausage making. I forget what it's called. It was a sausage making plant or something. I don't remember the exact. But we arrested many illegal aliens working there, and within 2 weeks, all those jobs were taken by the black community. So we put black community back to work. Like, no one hires an illegal alien out of the goodness of their heart.
Right.
They're hiring because they work them harder, pay them less, and undercut their competition who has U.S. citizen employees on the payroll, which drives wages down. You know, illegal immigration is not a victimless crime.
We're dealing with some dangerous people. And I don't know if people understand in the media, MS-13 is not some sort of a cosplay gang. These are very dangerous people we're talking about here.
MS-13 is the worst of the worst. And, well, they hold a shorter TDA.
TDA.
But MS-13, I mean, they murder for pleasure, and they just don't, you know, shoot you dead. They want to cut you up in pieces and torture you before they kill you. TDA, I mean, there's a reason why President Trump declared MS-13 and TDA terrorist organizations, because they've killed more Americans than every terrorist organization in the world combined, along with criminal cartels in Mexico. So I think it's the right thing to do to designate criminal cartels in Mexico, along with these two violent gangs, terrorist organizations, because they are. And that's why the Alien Enemies Act came into play, because The Venezuelan gang, TDA, we know they're embedded with the Maduro regime, both in the military and law enforcement. They were sent to this country to unsettle this country through pushing drugs that kill young people, to violent crime in the cities. And that's why the Alien Enemies Act was the right thing to do with the TDA, because their actions in the United States are in deference to our foreign policy, and they want to unsettle this country. There was an accident. They all showed up during the Biden administration. The Maduro regime was deeply involved to get these people to the United States.
There's a headline. This was an exclusive. Bill Malusian was teasing this, and I think he's done really a phenomenal job covering the border crisis. There's an illegal immigrant convicted of killing two teenagers here on American soil in a high-speed crash, and the guy set to be released early after just spending 3.5 years in prison. Those kinds of stories just must drive you nuts.
It does, because I've met with hundreds of angel moms and dads whose children were killed by an illegal alien. Some of them were supposed to be here, a preventable crime. And all the stories are sad, life-changing, and I'll never forget any of them. But I'm sick and tired of it. You know, I'm tired of meeting angel moms and dads. We need to secure the border. And, you know, now he's being released by California, and California Sanctuary State. I guarantee they're not going to honor the ICE detainee. They're going to get released to the streets. But I made this promise this morning on America's Newsroom that we'll be there to meet him when he gets out of the facility. He will be held. He'll be prosecuted because he's a reentry at deportation mixed up felony offense. So we'll prosecute him. We'll put him in prison. And when he gets out, we'll be there to send him back to his country.
I've been asked to pass along a message from a lot of our listeners in Memphis, Tennessee, which is now, unfortunately, one of the most violent cities in America, and they're begging the border czar to come to town. And the interesting thing is, you guys are all over the country, all over the country.
Yeah, you know, Chicago said I wasn't welcome. Well, the first place I went was Chicago. Denver, I wasn't welcome. I went to Denver. New York, we're going after sanctuary cities one at a time. I'm going to Rochester this week, because when their officers assisted and had emergency requests for assistance, the officers that helped the Border Patrol were put on desk duty. They're punished, disciplined. So I'm going to Rochester this week, and look, I'll go to Memphis. And the reason I'm spending more time in sanctuary cities, I'm flooding the zone. If we can't arrest a bad guy in the safety and security of a jail, right, you're going to release a public safety threat back into public, which is just plain dumb. It puts the community at risk. Okay, if you're going to keep doing that, you're going to keep releasing public safety threats in the back of the public, then where do I need to spend my attention? In communities where police aren't working with ICE, aren't helping take public safety threats off the street, so we'll go there. We'll flood the zone with agents, and we'll be in the community looking for these bad guys. And when we find a bad guy, we will. He probably with others. Others are in the United States illegally, maybe not criminals, but guess what? They're coming too. So sanctuary cities are going to get exactly what they don't want. More agents in the neighborhoods, more collateral arrest. We're going to flood the zone with agents, and also we're going to increase tenfold worksite enforcement operations. We'll find them there. So we can't get them in jail. We'll get them at home. We'll get them in the neighborhoods. We'll get them at place of employment. So, you know, we're going to flood the zone.
Tom, we got to leave it there. You know how radio goes. Our time has already slipped away. But, man, God bless you. Thank you for the great work that you guys are doing out there. And you got the prayers of a nation behind you.
All right. Hang on, Memphis. I'm coming.
Borders are Tom Homan.
Thank you.
Experience a life of unmatched luxury at Wind River Lake and Golf Club, Tennessee's premier lakefront community. Nestled along the pristine shores of Tellico Lake and the foothills of the majestic Great Smoky Mountains, Wind River offers a rare blend of natural beauty and refined living, all within a tax-friendly state with no income or inheritance tax. This masterfully designed gated sanctuary boasts an exceptional lifestyle, complete with a championship golf course, a best-in-class clubhouse, and a state-of-the-art marina. Join us for an exclusive discovery weekend to explore the pinnacle of lakefront luxury. Discover WindRiver.com. Life as it should be.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes radio program. We are broadcasting today from the White House, and you just heard Border Czar Tom Homan make some breaking news. Homan saying that when the illegal is set free in California, the one who killed two American teenagers, when he is set free, that he's going to be there at the prison gates to take this guy into custody. I'm telling you, folks, they're not messing around here at the Trump administration. All right, let's get to our phone lines today. 901-260-5926. Again, 901-260-5926. Let's go to Georgia. Laura is on the line. Hi, Laura. What's going on?
Hey there. Am I on? Can you hear me?
You're on, Laura. What's on your mind?
Perfect. I just wanted to comment on how the Trump administration has been doing in their past 100 days or their first 100 days. And I think he's doing extremely well. I think he's trying to do extremely well if he wasn't being blocked by all these activist judges who are, you know, trying to block him at every turn. But, you know, all in all, over... 78 million people voted for this, and we are anxiously awaiting them to allow him to do what we voted for him to do.
Do you have concerns about Congress, Laura, and whether or not the Republicans in Congress are going to deliver on the president's agenda?
I do. It seems like a lot of the Republicans who we really depended on supporting Trump have turned. And, you know, they really need to keep that in mind come midterm.
I think it's a warning, and I think it's a message that we need to all deliver to our representatives and to our senators, because you're right. The Republicans will find a way to screw this up. I mean, look, the Democrats are completely discombobulated. No doubt about that. But again, the Republicans, if they do not deliver on Trump's agenda, and by that I mean codifying all of these incredible executive orders, it's all going to be for nothing at the end of the day. So that's why we've got to make sure that the House and the Senate deliver on the president's promises.
Absolutely, because they're disappointing us at every turn here lately.
No doubt about that, Laura. No doubt about that. Well, thank you for calling in, and thank you for listening to our great affiliate, WDUN. Again, our telephone number, folks, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Well, some interesting news from Jasmine Crockett, ladies and gentlemen. Jasmine Crockett now announcing that she is smarter than President Trump. Take a listen.
He also called you low IQ. I'm sure you're aware of that. Would you be willing to take an IQ test publicly, head to head against the President
Absolutely.
Of the United States?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Speaking of two low IQ individuals, that voice you heard, little Jimmy Kimmel, Jasmine Crockett, the faux ghetto Congress gal from Texas, making a guest appearance on his show last night. Unbelievable. Also, over at Fox, and I don't know why I got a good laugh out of this, but Martha McCallum, who's just the kindest lady over there at Fox, and she's a tough interviewer, and she had the education thug, the chief thug, Randy Weingarten, on the show. Take a listen to how that all went down.
You have actually very,
Martha,
very difficult.
Martha, sweetheart, listen to me.
Please don't call
me
sweetheart.
It actually does. I'm sorry. My bad. It actually does matter.
Sweetheart? Who does she think she is calling Martha McCallum sweetheart? So good for you, Martha McCallum, for fighting back. Don't call me sweetheart. Good for you, ma'am. Good for you. All right. Look, we have got a jam-packed show coming up. We're going to be talking to Paula White. This is going to be a fascinating conversation. She is President Trump's senior advisor to the White House Faith Office, and she is going to share some information about the president that has not been previously disclosed. And any of you folks out there who are fans of Southern gospel music are going to be very impressed with what Paula White is going to be sharing with us coming up in a little bit later on in the show. Also, there has been a lot of excitement over the efforts of RFK Jr. to make America healthy again. And I don't know about you, and maybe this is just me, but I have found myself more often than not when I'm going to the grocery store looking at the actual ingredients in the things I'm purchasing. And I see a lot of other people doing the exact same thing. And RFK Jr. and the efforts to eliminate these artificial food dyes and the initiatives coming out of the Make America Healthy Again movement, I think that is going to revolutionize the country. We're going to be talking to Kelly Means, who is a White House senior advisor for the Make America Healthy Again agenda. That's coming up a little bit later on. Also, Alex Pfeiffer, a deputy comms director here at the White House, giving us an update on those border deportations. So a lot happening here. Also want to, folks, invite you right now to go and pre-order a copy of my brand new book. You can do that by going to toddstearns.com. We've got the website up. You can order at your favorite bookstore. The name of the new book, Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. And I hope you get a copy of it. You are going to love it. Franklin Graham writing the foreword to this incredible little devotion book. And the whole purpose of the book is to remind people that we are meant to be a Christian nation, and how God has actually used a lot of very unusual people to accomplish his goals for our country, from Dwight Eisenhower to Franklin Roosevelt to JFK to Donald J. Trump. So it's a fun book, and I hope you pre-order a copy right now. You can get it wherever you buy your books. We're encouraging people to go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, all great booksellers. All right, hang tight, everybody. We have got to take a break. Again, the Todd Stearns Show, broadcasting live from the White House in Washington, D.C.
That feeling of owning your first Mercedes-Benz is hard to believe, but it's real. From the leather stitching to the iconic design, every element of a Mercedes lives up to its reputation. See for yourself at your local dealer. Offers are waiting.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American.
Welcome back, everybody. Great to have you with us as we're broadcasting, spending the day in Washington, D.C. By the way, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Honored to have with us Alex Pfeiffer. You've heard him many times, Principal Deputy Comms Director here at the White House. Alex, it is a bit of a celebration. You guys are coming up on the big 100 days. And I don't know how you guys are walking, because the amount that you guys have accomplished has been extraordinary.
Thanks for having me, Todd. And yeah, I was actually just before I came on looking at this document our research team has prepared on promises the president made on the campaign trail and our effort to fulfill them. And it's a pretty long list. I mean, it stems from everything from having the military on the border, invoking the Alien Enemies Act, declassifying JFK assassination docs, putting tariffs on Mexico for the fentanyl. So we have moved as quickly as possible to enact the president's promises, and sort of the ethos here in the White House is there's no reason to delay. So, you know, today we're going to sign several executive orders. You know, every week, I'm sure your audience just sees a flurry of headlines of, you know, for example, last week, this didn't get much attention, and it should. We issued a final approval for a copper mine in Arizona that will be able to provide up to 25% of the nation's copper needs.
Tremendous. And those are the kinds of things that I think are endearing the president to the people. And this idea, and it's a rare concept in politics from either party, promises made, promises kept.
Yeah. So when the president first announces, you know, sort of presidential run in 2015, the big issue was building the wall, securing the border, right? And that's sort of been the animating issue of the MAGA movement, America First movement, whatever you want to call it, is securing the border. And within the first 100 days, you see border crossings in some sectors down 98%. There's a migrant shelter in San Diego that had to close because there's no migrants to be in the shelter. There are reports of migrant caravans now turning around in Mexico. And so we were able to accomplish a key facet of this movement in the first 100 days. And usually presidents aren't even able to accomplish their main initiatives in 4, let alone 8 years. And we did in the first 100 days, so I'm very proud about our record on border security.
I think one of the things that has also not gotten a lot of play is what's happening in the military. And I want to get to Pete Hegseth in just a moment. But it really does point out the shamefulness of the national media. The big story is that military recruitment is off the charts. 85%, they've already met 85% of their goal in the Army, according to military.com. And it's, you know, we're only a couple of months into the new year. They're not talking about that. Instead, you know, they're looking at Pete Hegseth. And again, it's been pretty clear from Caroline Leavitt from the podium at the White House, you guys are still behind him 100%.
Well, what's Pete's job? Pete's job is to lead the Department of Defense. And what's the Department of Defense's job? Is to keep America secure.
That's
and
it.
So we're doing that twofold right now. We're killing terrorists in Yemen who have fired upon American naval ships, American vessels. And also at the border. You know, I don't know about you, but I think most people in our movement have always wanted the military on the border. We've called that for years, and we have it now. We have the Marines on the border. We have Stryker, vehicles on the border. We have the 10th Mountain Division, I believe, is currently on the border. So that's under Pete Hegseth's leadership. You know, Dan Cain visited the border.
Right.
So he's doing what his job is, and the rest is distraction.
No, it is. And look, I think at this point, they're just looking for somebody who's going to be that
oh,
scalp.
Of course. Yeah, the press just wants a scalp. And it's ridiculous, the games they play.
When you look at that, and I think, again, a masterful job of dealing with the press. Did you guys have a strategy going in day one on how you guys were going to deal with the press corps?
Well, so a lot of us here in the White House press team were all on the campaign together. So I was on the campaign. Obviously, Caroline was. Stephen Chung was. Taylor Butterwich was. A lot of this communications team here all came from the campaign.
Yeah.
And so we're used to dealing with doing press for the president and sort of, you know, we have multiple, you know, I'm here sitting talking with you. We use social media a lot. We even, you know, we'll engage with the mainstream media, the legacy press. You know, sort of our outlook is you have to use every single possible medium to talk to people. Because I think if most people pulled out their Spotify or their iTunes, and you ask for their top 10 songs, most people won't even have similar top 10 songs. Same way it works in media. Everyone digests media. Some people listen to radio. Some people read print still. Some people watch their local news. So we have to engage everywhere we can.
And you're doing that very effectively. I mean, how many young people watch even cable news these days? I think
not really.
Getting their news from someplace else.
I was at a my high school, my alma mater was in town, and I was there talking to them, and someone else was talking to them, and they brought up Bill Maher, and everyone sort of had a confused look, and the guy was like, can people raise their hands here if they know who Bill Maher is? And these are high school seniors, and not one of them raised their hand.
They didn't know who Bill Maher was.
No, they didn't know, I'm not old, and I know who Bill Maher is, of course, and Bill Maher every day is like on Twitter, so this shows that they're not even on Twitter, they're probably just like on TikTok and Instagram, so... Yeah, people's media diets are very diverse nowadays.
And really, that is pioneering new ground that you guys are doing, because you know, how do you reach those voters, you know, on TikTok or Instagram? And I think it's been a very effective job.
Well, so we have you here today where I'm talking with you. We had Tim Pool in the new media seat yesterday. So I think it's...
Who was not wearing a tie, by the way. I just want to point that out.
Yeah, and he kept his beanie on.
He did keep the beanie on.
I'll let you comment on that.
I'm not going to comment on that, but I understand. We're all wearing ties. Today,
if
gentlemen.
You ever get the new media seat, I expect you to wear a beanie and a hoodie.
Oh, you better believe it. I'll be. That's great. Alex, when you look at the next 100 days, a lot of this also deals with Congress, and are they going to be able to keep up with this president? I've never seen somebody with so much energy.
Well, they better. A big thing that, look, what's going to come up on this reconciliation fight, to be clear to everyone listening, is do you want to pay higher taxes or not? It's that simple. And that's what's going to be before Congress, which is extending tax cuts, deepening the tax cuts, no tax on tips, tax on Social Security. But if the Trump tax cuts expire, the 2017 ones, which, you know, were the largest tax cuts in history, helping out working class, middle class Americans, people are going to see their taxes go higher. And so Congress needs to deliver on that. And additionally, obviously, we want from Congress more resources for our mass deportation
program. How's the working relationship with Speaker Johnson and Thune?
I think it's been good so far, you know, and I think, you know, the team here works closely and is in touch every single day with the folks on the Hill, and I think we've had a good relationship.
I was talking to Congressman Tim Burchett out of Tennessee a couple of days ago on the show, and he said that his concern is they need to be better at codifying these executive orders that the president is issuing. Is there going to be a push for that down the road?
That's sort of out of my wheelhouse, unfortunately, but I would love for that. A lot of the stuff, you know, is unfortunate that sometimes, you know, victories can be temporary. But I think a lot of, you know, what we've done through executive order or some of the things we've done through executive power is we've simply enforced the existing laws in the book. I mean, books. I mean, when it comes to immigration, essentially Biden acted as a Soros DA. So these Soros DAs, they're laws in the books that don't allow you to, you know, shoot up heroin on a sidewalk, and they choose not to enforce them. There are laws in the books that don't allow you to legally cross the border. Biden chose not to enforce them. We're enforcing them. So, you know, unfortunately, it's not even an EO law matter. Even if Congress passes a law, if the executive doesn't want to enforce the law, well, you know, what good is that law? So we're actually enforcing the laws.
It's a fair point. And it's a look, what's happening at the border has just been phenomenal. And you know, crossings at an all-time low. And that's only going to get better. And, of course, watching these deportations. Alex, congratulations. You guys have a lot to celebrate here at the White House.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, that was Alex Pfeiffer from the comms team here at the White House. By the way, just moments ago, and we missed this because we've been on the air, President Trump is taking a stroll on the North Lawn, and the president announcing that he is looking for the perfect location. So he's actually out there, and it's a beautiful day in Washington, D.C. The president is on the North Lawn, and he is scouting out a location to install not one, but two 100-foot-tall flagpoles. And the president says that he's going to be flying giant American flags on both of those beautiful 100-foot-tall flagpoles. He says, we're going to be putting up a beautiful American flag on this side and another on the other side of the White House. And by the way, the president says that he's going to do this at his own expense. You got to love our president. The man loves Old Glory. He loves Old Glory. All right, let's go to our phone lines here, 901-260-5926. Let's go to Iowa, radio station KXEL, Jerry on the line. Hi, Jerry. What's going on?
Well, praising the Lord again today, I wanted to comment about, is all of this going to be codified? Is it going to be solidified? It's been a wonderful 100 days, and the invasion has worked pretty well. The objective is still ahead of us, and this could all go backwards. If the average person is not still engaged, maintained, going to school board meetings, the rhinos are going to look at this for their own expedience and self-aggrandizement, and they're not going to vote the way we want them to. They, you know, they talk a good game. So how are we going to solidify the gains? We got to continue to send the message, and this means rank and file, everybody, every level, talking to relatives, activism. I'm calling the radio here, calling you, brother. And if we just get too relaxed and go, well, you know, it's great. We got the MAGA wave and the landslide and on. It's not effective thinking that way. We've got to push this so the midterms look like a threat to the rhinos, okay? And maybe some Democrats will vote for legislation. And so we've got to send them that message that we're not checked out, because this could all roll backwards. This is not a time for the average person at all levels. I'm clear down at the bottom here, but I'm still engaged. I'm still raking in the winds with my friends and relatives. And we just, it could go backwards, and God is watching all of us. Is this going to be an American revival, a spiritual Jesus Christ revival, or is it all going to roll back? And so
let me say this, and again, when you look at the politics of it all, yes, the issue here is whether or not the Republicans in the House and the Senate will codify these executive orders. And if they don't, look, there's a lot going on, but most of the stuff happening is happening at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. It is not happening on Capitol Hill, and that does not bode well for the midterm elections. And I will say this, and we'll talk about this later in the week,
But the Republicans are having a hard time. Congressional Republicans are having a very difficult time raising money right now. That could be problematic. And again, I'm not raising alarm bells. I'm just saying we've got to be very careful how we play this. Jerry, I've got to skedaddle. Hang tight. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show, broadcasting from the White House.
I'm John Franco, owner of GreenTech Roofing and Solar. As storm season quickly approaches, don't gamble with the safety of your home. We offer free roof inspections so you'll understand exactly what the issues are. Homeowners and business owners, turn to GreenTech Roofing and Solar. We are proud to be locally owned and operated, and our commitment to quality has earned us over 400 five-star reviews. Don't let uncertainty turn into a bigger problem. If you or someone you know is risking the safety of their home, let us help. Visit GreenTechRoofing.com for more information. GreenTech Roofing and Solar. This is Smart Roofing.
And welcome back to the Todd Stern Show as we're broadcasting live from the White House today. Been a busy day already. Geez, hello. I just realized I had one cup of coffee. So otherwise, we've been jam-packed here, meeting a lot of folks and visiting a lot of folks you hear on this radio program. All right, let's get right back to the phone lines here, 901-260-5926. And we're asking you, how are you grading the Trump White House 100 days in? We're getting close to that 100-day mark. Your thoughts. Let's go to Gary in Ocala, Florida. And Gary, what's on your mind today?
Yeah, well, I believe a B plus or an A. I mean, I'm totally satisfied. I think a couple of glitches, but overall, it's fine. What I called about was when I seen it yesterday crossing the wire was former staffer, part time staffer, Minnesota employee with Tim Walz. Is allowed to commit six or seven felonies when he destroyed some Teslas, their paint job, and other things. And since Minnesota's went in the toilet, the district attorney agreed to a diversion program like he was 15 years old, even though this is an adult male. And they're going to allow him to basically get a suspended sentence. And he has to make restitution over time, like the next 5 years. And I found it amazing that people are probably sitting in jail with lesser crimes, and he's allowed to opt out for that.
Oh, Gary, yeah. I mean, 1,000% accurate here. And just to bring people into the story, this is all coming out of Minnesota, where Governor Tim Walz, one of his staffers, was arrested, accused of causing $20,000 in damage to, I believe, six different Tesla vehicles. And he is not going to face criminal charges as a result of that. They're letting the guy walk out of there. And what sort of a message does that send would-be criminals out there, Gary?
You better hide your Teslas, because based on his case, the next person that destroys them will refer their public defender will refer exactly to him.
Well, I know the Minneapolis police chief, the guy's name is Brian O'Hara. He is just enraged over all of this. And I know they put out a statement saying, hey, look, this case impacted at least six different victims. The police went out there. They identified, investigated. They found the suspect, arrested the suspect. They gave the case to the county district attorney's office. And at that point, it's out of their hands. And so the police chief there is saying, if you want to complain about this, here's what you do. You contact the mayor's office or you contact the governor's office, because those are the people that are responsible. And again, this guy committed a crime and he should be in jail for that. But again, we're talking about Minneapolis, where they allowed a bunch of Black Lives Matter terrorists to nearly burn down the entire city during the George Floyd riot. So not terribly surprised that they've gone down this path. Gary, thank you very much for that call, and thank you for bringing that to our attention. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Want to share a story
And guys back in Memphis, if you'll let me know if we've lost our connection, are we back?
And this has been the EP of the show. You guys know me. I'm always with Todd. So we're working to restore a connection with Todd. We don't want to blow out your ears on your lunch break. But when you've got the main host in Washington, D.C., our team is working between two very different apparatuses. Todd has the radio station in the nation's capital, so it's pretty remarkable. And sometimes you've got a signal issue, and we're going to be restored up and coming in just a couple minutes. On deck, by the way, Paula White, which is the faith advisor to the President of the United States. She sits down with Todd Starnes in a Todd Starnes exclusive on the other side of the break. Don't you step away from this conversation. It's a must listen.
To the White House, everybody. I'm Todd Starnes, and faith has been a very important storyline in the Trump White House in this first 100 days. The president delivering on so many of his promises to the Christian community. And it's an honor to have with us the senior advisor to the White House Faith Office, our good friend Paula White. Paula, it's been a long time.
I know. I'm so happy to be with you today,
so
Todd.
So you and I first met at this inaugural ball in Washington, D.C., the first Trump time. And I got to tell you, you're a good dancer, Paula
thank
White.
Thank you. Well, thanks.
I got to be the MC for that thing, and it was a lot of fun.
It was fun.
People don't realize how much fun Christians can actually have.
That's true. I mean, we should be the funnest people because we have the joy of the Lord. I mean, think about it. We win. We win here in life. We win in eternity. We have the Lord Jesus Christ.
I know a lot of people, they've seen you on TV. They've heard you. They've seen you with the president at Mar-a-Lago. But a lot of folks don't know how you guys actually met. How did that friendship come about?
24 years ago.
Wow.
I get this call from the blue, and they said, Mr. Trump's on the line. I'm like, yeah, sure. They said, Mr. Trump's on the line. So he gets on, and his opening remarks are, you have the it factor. I said, oh, sir, we call that the anointing. So that was our hello. And he proceeds to tell me about three sermons he listened, and I mean, he almost knows them verbatim. I was pretty shocked, actually. And I'm listening intently, and I thought, man, he listens better than most of our congregation. And one thing led to another, and just developed a strong friendship with him and the family, and began to pray, do Bible studies, minister to the family. And he would tell people, this is my pastor. And I just, you know, I felt like the Lord had given me a word of just be a Christian before him, you know, live out the life. And God really did give me specifics, Todd. I don't talk about this often, but he said, never take a dime from him. So I don't. I won't take a penny here at the White House. Anything that's ever been connected to President Trump, it was something I felt like the Lord said, live this out before him. God said, I said, I don't want your fame. I have it on my own, which was hilarious at the time, you know, with everything. But in other words, I felt like I want your soul. I felt like God was saying, just live the Christian life before him. And so 24 years later, here we are with a lot of prayer, a lot of anointing, a lot of
It's really amazing, Paula, when you look at the president's policies, and clearly, I was talking to Franklin Graham about this just a few days ago, and as well as Robert Jeffers, and they both told me that this is a man who has been changed since the assassination attempts. You can tell there's something a little bit different. I mean, you still got the Donald Trump, you know,
Absolutely. But
there's something different. Have you noticed that as well?
Absolutely. I've had this front row seat to his life of faith. And we have to go back to his childhood. I mean, and I'll talk about how I perceive the assassination attempt, which is so difficult even for me to talk about still, Todd, because that wasn't just the president, it was also my friend. But as a child, he went to Saturday school, Sunday school, very formed in faith. His mother, strong in prayer. His dad took him to Billy Graham Crusade. States. He went to Dr. Norman Vincent Peale, his favorite pastor and preacher of all time, who had great formation in his life. Watched people on television, listened to the Gaithers, watched Jimmy Swaggart.
Okay, stop. Yeah, hold on. So I've heard this. No. I have heard this rumor, and I didn't even put this in the book. My last book, I went to Tomorrow, I'm going to talk to the president, and I forgot to ask him about this. He does listen to Southern gospel music.
Yeah, he loves music. And so he listens to all kinds of music. But I'll never forget one time I think it might have been his 60th birthday, I had Reverend Billy Graham sign a Bible and send something, and I wrote him this word in it. And then I gave him Bill Gaither music to fill his plane, because I know he loves his playlist. And he just absolutely loves it. So, he would watch when Jimmy Swaggart would minister in music, and he'd go, he's better than his cousin,
Wow, Jerry Lee.
Wow. So I'm telling all the secrets now, you know.
These are great stories.
But, I know, so it's not as if, and he was obviously reaching to me because the word really touched him and ministered to him. So I say, he's not new to faith. He's not new to Christ. It's not like he got saved at that time. He has always been a Christian, received Jesus Christ, but when that attempted assassination took place, I would say, and this would be my way of looking at it, I think it's probably the first time, maybe one other time in his life, this is a self-made man, it's a man who's very strong, that you think about what happened. In a millimeter of a second, like, first off, him and Natalie did that chart. Natalie's dad had taught him how to do it. It usually goes up at the end, and he just randomly starts talking about immigration at that point because he's running late, which I'll get to. And they put it up on a different side, and he turns one way, then turns the other way. And in that split, not even a second, had anything gone different, he would be dead today. And he knows that beyond any shadow of a doubt that God saved his life. And he believes, and I do too, that God saved it for a purpose, to save America. And so he knows, when I say this might be the only time, there could have only been one other time, that he could not have helped himself. There's nothing he could have done. There's nothing that he could not have saved himself. And he recognizes and knows that God saved him from death. And that's a complete surrender.
It is it's a very similar story to what happened with Ronald Reagan after that assassination attempt. And it was just a life changed, and there was a focus, and you can see it as well in President Trump. You know, one of the things, Paula, that I've been very impressed by, the Easter message was uniquely evangelical. Jack Graham from Prestonwood Baptist Church told me it was like the president is becoming an evangelist now. But it was really remarkable, and maybe refreshing to know that we weren't celebrating transgender people frolicking on the front yard of the White House. We were celebrating Jesus Christ, the risen Savior.
Absolutely. I'll never forget last year when Biden put out a very offensive to Christian, I mean, think about billions of Christians around the world and the beacon that America has to be. And he recognized it as Transgender Visibility Day. And then they had to backpedal, of course, and say, oh, well, that's the day. But anyone that knows government, works in the White House, recognizes you can move an event, move a day to any day. Could have been celebrated on Monday that week, Wednesday that week, anytime. That was very intentional. And because it backfired on them with such a backlash, it was what it was. So when that happened, I'll never forget, President called me right away. And he goes, he was upset. I was upset. He said, when we win, we're going to make Easter very, very, very big. And that's what he did, Todd. It wasn't just the Easter dinner. He starts with a proclamation on that Sunday, which, if people have not read it, and your listeners, please go to whitehouse.gov and read that Easter. It's an official proclamation enshrined forever in our government. It is the gospel. He starts out, you know, recognizing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as the risen Savior, as delivering and redeeming us from sin. He talks about America that will be unwavering under his administration and protecting our military, our schools, our faith, people, our religion, etc. And then he says, and may the Holy Spirit pour pour his spirit out upon. He's invoking revival. So then he starts with a proclamation. He goes from a proclamation to a statement, I think the next day, to then the Easter dinner where Jack's right, Pastor Jack is right, he preached. And then, of course, so did Reverend Franklin Graham, Jensen Franklin, myself, talked about the resurrection, talked about, you know, Great Friday, the death of Christ, everything. I celebrated this incredible dinner that led him to more initiatives, because behind the scenes, after press was gone, there was a lot of discussion, and you know, I was tasked immediately with more initiatives, which was just fantastic to do for the president, to do for this administration. Then he went to a video, then he went to making sure everybody joined him in doing Easter service. So, I mean, it was 7 days of recognition, and we had a Passover service.
Really remarkable. And again, just an appreciation and a respect for faith in,
yes,
in America and faith's role in America.
Absolutely.
I want to ask you, when, you know, looking, you know, big picture, how important is it for the president, knowing the condition of the country right now, to be that person who says, you know what, we are one nation under God. This is the nation our founding fathers meant for us to be.
Absolutely vital to everything, and we're seeing the fruit of that as you begin to see, especially younger generation men by the multitudes, which my heart could not be happier about that.
Shocking, the numbers, right?
Oh, it's incredible. Bibles returning to church, all-time attendance records broken, Bible sales up 22%. I mean, we continue to look at this, that God is using President Trump, this administration, in so many ways, and it's worldwide. He affects not only America, but the world. I just came back from being with over 100 world leaders and hearing the impact and the effect of America and President Trump stands. So it's crucial because it's important. It shapes his decisions, policy of this administration, what we do, how we move forward. As many people know, this is the newly historic, created, never done, not an initiative, White House Faith Office with, and Todd, you'll understand this, I think we just onboarded our 7th yesterday, EOP, Executive Office of the President, staff in the White House.
Wow.
And that's a huge
one.
That's big. And then, of course, he put the office, we have our staff in the EOP, the office over in the West Wing. And everyone that knows that area knows that there's limited real estate. I think maybe 13, 14 offices or something. It's very, very limited. And so the president has elevated it to the most, to the highest place possible, because it is important to him, is important to people that voted for him. And I think everyone just said enough is enough.
Paula, we have to leave it there. You know how radio is. We can sit here and hang out all day.
We could be here hours, Todd.
I know it.
There's so many more things that I can tell you besides just Bill Gaither and gospel music. There's a lot of behind the scenes for 24 years.
This is fascinating. We're going to have to get you back on the show.
I'd love that.
And what a great time to be in Washington, D.C. Paula White, thank you for serving our country. Thank you for what you're doing for the president.
Thank you so much, Todd, and to all your listeners. Be blessed.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. We are broadcasting live from the White House campus here in beautiful Washington, D.C. Really Chamber of Commerce weather outside. It's beautiful, sunny skies. And contrary to what Ben Dieter may have said, I was not tased during the last break.
It's good to,
Dieter,
it's good to have you back. I know. Everybody was like, what happened to Todd? He's at the White House in an undisclosed location. And the next thing we just hear, static. So
just
it's
static.
Good to have you back.
Well, thank you. Yeah, this is what happens when the host is allowed to touch anything technical. So apparently I forgot to plug in our device and the battery ran out. So what are you going to do? There you go. It is what it is.
You've got to go.
By the way, I just want to say this on the record, Dieter. The White House press, you know, the staff, the comm staff, I think they were more interested in meeting you than me, to be honest.
We've got
they seem disappointed that you weren't here.
We've got a cool team, Todd. We've got a pretty cool radio team, and Dalton's there. You're there. You've got, but people are asking when you're coming back to Memphis, because let me tell you, and I know this is a Tennessee-specific story, but a lot of news was made in that Tom Homan interview. I don't even know if you knew, but it's exploding all over the newspapers here back in town that Tom Homan is coming to Memphis. So, thank God. Thanks for asking that question, by the way. You did me a solid.
You asked, and I did. I did as I was instructed to do, and this is going to be huge. I'm not going to name names, but I'm concerned about a couple of my favorite restaurants.
They may
have to shut down.
Tom, just leave the taco truck alone. Leave the taco truck. They have the best tacos. Everybody
we'll
else.
One for America.
Yeah.
It's a fair point. Oh, my word. Okay, can we talk about what Paula White, that bombshell that Paula White just dropped, that our beloved president, Donald J. Trump, is a big fan of Bill and Gloria Gaither music.
Does Bill and Gloria Gaither know this, Todd?
I don't think they do. I'm texting somebody who actually knows them in the break, and I'm like, you're not going to believe what I just heard. So who knows? They could do another homecoming video, and maybe one of the special guests could be President Trump, who has a lovely singing voice.
Does he?
If you go back and watch the old Saturday Night Lives, he did a beautiful, stirring rendition of the theme song of Green Acres.
Wow. So I just imagine him doing a special with, like, Guy Penrod. All those guys.
Sweet mercy.
I know. And then the other thing that was interesting that she pointed out is his journey and how his mother was a woman of faith, that his father, they had him back in the Sunday school class. That was new to me. She dropped a lot of bombshells that I have never heard about this president's journey to faith, which started well before the assassination attempt.
You know, one of the things I love about this White House, and just talking to so many of the staffers here, just good, solid people that, you know, that the president, and, you know, hats off to Susie Wiles, again, for surrounding the president with good, solid hires. And the comm staff, and it's we were talking to Alex Pfeiffer earlier. The fact that they knew going in, they had a plan on how to deal with rogue media. And by the way, the condescending media, I think, is another word that we need to use here, because there's some video that's floating around going viral on the socials bin of a CNN reporter actually going up to one of the new media and asking if they're really a journalist.
Yeah, well, someone should have turned around to that CNN reporter and just showed them their Nielsen ratings, which we have a larger audience than all of CNN. So, I mean, are you technically a quote-unquote journalist? Yes, you are, but also you're the future of media, which has a larger audience than CNN's Caitlin Collins will ever, Todd.
Well, and that's a fair point. So again, it's, you know, it's great that all these media folks, I don't know if you caught the jab there at Tim Pool. He showed up, he was new media yesterday, showed up in like a hoodie and he was wearing a beanie. Come on. It's the White House.
It's the White House. Well, they also told you, Todd, that you're allowed to wear a beanie and a hoodie, but that's not your thing. Are you in a suit and tie? You better be.
Darn tootin'.
Okay.
Darn tootin'. I want to ask this, and we'll open up the phone lines in the next hour. Maybe people want to have, maybe they have questions about what we're doing here at the White House, but, you know, when you do go to the White House, do you wear the suit and tie? Do you dress up, or do you, you know, just, you know, wear SpongeBob pajama pants, yeah, like some of these folks have been doing?
Yeah, like Zelensky, which is in hot water. I'm not sure that the president's still livid about that. You can't wear.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
It's a great point. Would you go to your wedding dress like that? That's maybe the broader question.
He probably would. Zelensky.
Just something to think about.
Yeah.
All right, folks, our telephone number, 901-260-5926, 901-260-5926. Don't forget, 5 o'clock Eastern, the Todd Stern Show. We're coming to you live on Newsmax from our D.C. Bureau. Newsmax, by the way, just went public on the New York Stock Exchange, listed on the big board. Millions of Americans joining the news revolution. Reuters says Newsmax, one of the top 12 news brands in America. President Trump says it's terrific. 40 million Americans go to Newsmax. Audience growing 50% since the same time last year. Millions are making the switch to Newsmax, and we're mighty grateful for that. All right, hang tight, everybody. Got to take a quick break. Our final hour from the White House coming up. This is the Todd Stern Show.
from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, broadcasting from the White House today. And wow, do we have a lot going on. Ben Dieter back in Memphis, Tennessee with Dylan manning the boards and Dalton Glasscock joining us. Dalton, of course, the chief executive officer of Starnes Media Group. And we have just had a wonderful day. Got here about 8 o'clock this morning. And Dalton, we nearly ran into the bird that attacked Peter Ducey from Fox News on live television a couple of days ago.
We did. But I do have to tell everybody listening that Todd wasn't even paying attention. He almost got attacked by 4 birds, a big bird, 3 baby birds. So now Ducey and Todd are going to have a lot to worry about over the next couple of weeks.
I'm a little concerned. I'm going to tell you.
It actually might be a good sign they didn't attack you, that they're the guarders of the White House, and now you're welcome back.
The guardians of the White House. I love it. But can we direct their attention towards CNN and MSDNC? Can we do that at the very least?
I guess so.
Okay. All right. So, look, we're going to have a little bit of fun this hour of the program. We have some great guests coming up as well. Dalton, you and I are going to talk some politics here in a few moments. But I wanted to give a big shout-out to our friends at Patriot Talk 920 in Houston. Wow, those guys are really having fun with our visit to the White House. They've already put together some pretty amazing graphics, and well done to our friends over at Patriot Talk in Houston.
Oh, you can be assured that I'm going to be sending this to the staff to make sure that we put together these graphics in the future as well.
Very, very gifted crew down there in Houston. But anyway, we're at the White House. It's not every day that we're at the White House, so what better opportunity to have a little bit of fun? And of course, we always love giving away stuff on the Todd Starnes Radio Program. We're very socialist in that way. We love giving stuff away, giving other people stuff away.
You love giving stuff away. I'm the one that stops the giving away daily.
This is true. You've got it. Well, you've got to make sure that we can pay our bills at the end of the day.
If it was up to you, we would not be able to give things away because you might be living in one of these tent cities in D.C.
Fair enough. So here's the deal. It's interesting. A lot of people may not realize this, but there's only been one American president who has not actually lived in the White House. So we need you to tell us who that president is. Name the one president that never actually lived at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. And if you know the question, or know the answer rather, give us a call, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. And no, Dalton, you cannot answer the question.
I thought you were asking me. I almost ruined this for every listener because I was about to hop in right there.
So we're going to be throwing out some White House trivia this hour of the show. And again, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. You know, Dalton, coming here to Washington, D.C., you, in addition to running this company, you are a great Republican, and you've been very involved in Republican politics and currently serve on the city council in Wichita, Kansas. Of course, our affiliate there, KQAM. How would you judge the Trump White House thus far? We're coming up on that 100-day mark. What surprised you about the Trump administration?
Well, first, I want to say that the conversation that you had at the start of the program today with the Labor Secretary was, I think, one of the most important conversations, because local governments know how to run efficiently because we're much more accountable to the people.
Yeah.
You're going to run in the grocery store. You're going to run in them too, running down the park. And so that's what I see in terms of the Trump administration over the first 100 days, is how can they be and how have they connected with individuals very personally. When people are going to the grocery store, what are the challenges they're facing? When people are, you know, worried about their safety, what are the challenges they're facing? And I think that personal connection is really the highlight of the first 100 days.
On that note, you know, there's been a lot of talk about the price of eggs, and the price is going down. Gas prices going down. You're seeing a lot of stuff going down. I thought it was funny. Easter Sunday, the Starnes family went to our annual tradition, which is brunch at the Peabody Hotel. And they always give you a lovely parting gift. And it's usually something very, you know, just a creation from the bakery or whatever there at the Peabody. Some of the best chefs out there. They gave everybody who went to the Peabody a dozen eggs in a bag.
Todd, you may learn something new about me that I don't think you've known before, is I have an egg dealer. And don't purchase my eggs from the grocery store. I have my own egg provider.
Wait, like a drug dealer?
Yeah, but it's an egg dealer.
So what do you do? Like a dark street corner under the street lamp?
We usually show up outside of, you know, the county courthouse, and she'll give me the eggs, and then I go and cook the eggs for a couple weeks.
Are we talking about like, you know, the brown eggs, the white eggs? What are we talking about
here? They have very yellowy oak, the more natural they are. So you can't cook a white cake with yellow eggs or natural eggs. You have to use the store-bought eggs to make a cake.
Really?
Yeah, it'll give a yellow tint to your cake.
Is that true?
It is true. I guarantee you there's listeners that know that.
So you literally have somebody that you actually buy eggs from?
I do. I have my own egg dealer.
Has this been a long-time thing, or is this because of Bidenomics?
It started under President Biden, but I just continued it since then because my egg dealer's treated me well.
I am fascinated. I did not know that about you.
I'm a hippie at heart, but I am not a hippie to force that on other individuals.
No. As a matter of fact, someone showed up at the radio station, and Gabe presented Ben Dieter with all of these delicious, I would call them homemade eggs, but they're not homemade. They're from their own family of chickens.
Hey, this ties everything, and we want to make America healthy again, and it really starts with locally produced food as well. And I'm living that out.
In all seriousness, I was fascinated. We've got a conversation coming up with Callie Means and in just a little while. And that conversation fascinated me because I have noticed, because of RFK Jr., when I go to the supermarket, I actually take a look. I take a minute, and I look at what the ingredients are. And I realized I was down at the Piggly Wiggly in Olive Branch, Mississippi, and I realized, holy cow, everybody else is doing the same thing. They want to know what is in the pork rinds.
I love that you're listening to RFK Jr. and not me. I've been saying that for years now.
And also, and I want to confess this because many people see me at the Whole Foods in Germantown, Tennessee, where I go shopping.
Oh, you just gave away one of your secrets, too.
And out of my out of respect for Elon, I no longer park my gas-guzzling Cadillac in the EV parking lanes at the very front of the store.
I can't imagine there's that many people using the EV lanes in Memphis, Tennessee.
There are
anyway.
Like 30 EV parking spots at the Whole Foods, and nobody ever uses them.
Well, now they have one extra one, too.
They do. I felt bad about it.
I don't know. The Cybertruck make up two spots, maybe.
But to your point, Dalton, this administration has been able to zero in and really impact local communities. And I know Ben Dieter, you know, was talking just a few moments ago about what Tom Homan said about Memphis. And Dieter, to that point, people are really fired up, and they really hope to see Tom Homan patrolling the streets of Memphis, Tennessee.
Well, what we're seeing for the White House the first 100 days is we're talking about things that individuals care about and that they're talking about at their home. They want safe, secure communities. They want to make sure that their family's living healthy. And they don't. And they also, when they go to the grocery store, they just assume that the government has enough regulations to protect them when they're eating. Most people historically have not went and checked all the back of any of the items until recently. And so when we're talking about the first 100 days, I think the biggest thing is how does this affect my family, and not these just grand general ideas that I think Democrats have ran on for the past couple of years.
I think that's a pretty fair assessment of where we're at right now. All right, let's go to the phone lines. We have a trivia question out there as we broadcast from the White House. Let's say hello to Dawn in North Carolina, listening to us on WSIC. Dawn, how are you today, my dear?
I'm good. How are you today?
Dawn, I'm doing well. We made it through the White House checkpoint without any major problems at all. Nobody got tased, so I think we're having a pretty good day out here.
That's wonderful.
Dawn, we have a question on the table. We're talking about the White House, and only one U.S. president never actually lived in the White House. Do you know who that president was?
I believe it was George Washington.
Yes, Dawn, that is correct. Our very first president, George Washington, that is the answer. And congratulations, Dawn.
Todd, you're going to have to vet these questions by me to make sure that we're asking tougher questions, because this is why we give away so many books. No, it's the questions you ask.
But
it's so easy.
It was Dawn, was this an easy question? Don't answer that question, Dawn. It was a hard question, right, Dawn?
Not everyone would know that, though, no.
You see, Dawn, you're right. Not everybody would know that, and you never know. It could be a trick question.
I couldn't even give hints. I couldn't even say there's a city named after him. I couldn't give hints about a cherry tree. I can get hints about any of it.
Dental issues.
See, everybody knows every fact about George Washington.
True. All right. Hey, Dawn, congratulations. We're going to put you on hold, and we're going to get you a copy of one of my books signed and in the mail. Thank you for listening to us today. All right. Another trivia question as we go to break here.
Is it tougher?
I think this is tougher. What did the Brady press briefing room used to be? Before it was a press briefing room, what was that area used for?
I'm trying to figure out a hint without telling people, but I'll let your listener. I trust your listeners.
There is no hint here. So if you can tell us, what was the Brady press briefing room before it was a press briefing room?
Did you have an office there?
I did. I'll talk about that coming up after the break. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926 if you know the answer. Or maybe you have a question for us. You can give us a call. Got to take a quick break. We are live from the White House. This is the Todd Stern Show. And welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Trust you're doing well today. Again, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. And again, the trivia question we have out there, we want to know, what was the Brady press briefing room before it was a press briefing room? So if you know the answer, give us a call, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. And guys, feel free to send over those deets when you get them. You know, bringing in Dalton Glasscock again, and Dalton, you talk about the significance of the Trump administration of this first 100 days. And as a lawmaker, you know, you really only have a certain amount of time to get things done and to get the agenda through.
I've only been in office for about a year and a month right now, and that has flown by so quickly. And we only have to deal, you know, in a city council, you have one body, so I have to deal with seven individuals. In D.C., you have to deal with a lot of egos over at Capitol Hill, plus you have to deal with the judiciary as well, and then you have to deal with the bureaucracy that's also trying to stop things left and right. And so you have to hit the ground running, and I think America has never seen a president hit the ground running as quick as Donald Trump.
When you look at, for example, Congress, and things are, of course, much slower there on Capitol Hill, how important is it going to be, and do you anticipate Congress being able to get on board and get through a lot of these, for example, executive orders?
What we need to do is we need to codify this, because what we saw the challenge of not only the Obama administration but also the Biden administration is that if we don't codify these into law, particularly some of the executive orders, then we miss the opportunity and the next president should come and wipe away all of the good work that's been done. And we have to be able to empower the congressional branch again. And hopefully this, you know, wakes Americans up to the idea of how much power we bestowed to the presidency and has been abdicated for Congress over the past decade.
Yeah, I mean, fair enough. By the way, don't let's go to the phones. We've got full lines. Let's say hello to Linda in Baltimore. Hi, Linda. How are you today?
Hey, Todd. I'm good. How are you?
Linda, I'm doing well. We're going to try to win you a prize here. You know, we're doing some White House trivia, and we want to know, what was the James Brady press briefing room before it was a press briefing room?
I think it may have been a swimming pool.
Yeah, Linda, you're right. It was, in fact, a swimming pool. And quite frankly, many people felt like President Trump ought to turn it right back into a swimming pool.
I think it would be a better use.
Yeah, I'm with you, Linda. It was filled over. And when Dalton, I'm going to take you over there after we get finished with the show, and I'll show you my old stomping grounds. There's not a lot of room to wiggle around down there. So everybody's sort of butt-cheek to butt-cheek in the press briefing room.
Todd, I want to know how many callers have not got the trivia question right over the past couple of years.
Linda, was that a hard question, Linda?
Well, I would not have known it, but I happened to hear that a couple of weeks ago. And I can't remember where I read it or heard it, but I did. And as soon as you announced the trivia question, I got right on the phone.
You see? So we're educating America, Dalton.
Linda, thank you for the helping educate the country.
Linda did a great job. Linda, don't go anywhere. Hang tight. We're gonna get your information and congratulations. Hey, let's go to Don, listening to us on Patriot Talk 920 in Houston. Hey, Don, what's going on?
Hey, I got a question. I didn't know the answer to the trivia, but I got a question for you.
Something I've been curious about, with all of the Biden pardons that he gave, there were auto pins, and he wasn't even there when they were signed, according to things I've heard. Is there any, and I know the president's super busy doing some other serious stuff, but how about looking into that and see if you can't invalidate some of those?
You know what, Don? That is a terrific question, and that's one that the administration is actually looking into, because there is a theory that anything that was signed by that auto pen that President Biden was not aware of may, in fact, be invalidated, including a lot of the pardons that came down in the final moments of the presidency. So, Don, that's actually a good thought.
Hey, I had one.
Well, how about that, Don? Don, you give us a holler back, and we certainly appreciate you listening to Patriot Talk 920 down there in Houston. Again, our number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. As far as the midterms, Dalton, I have a question. You're a politico, so you've been through a number of these political races. How difficult is it for the party that's in control, how difficult is it for them to maintain that majority in the midterm elections?
It's nearly unprecedented. And Americans often try to seek divided government. That's kind of been the MO across, not just in D.C., but also in state capitals across the country as well. If you have a Democrat governor, they like a Republican legislator. And so it's really a challenge for them to keep. And that's why there's so much importance on the first 2 years, because nothing is guaranteed after that. And no election is ever guaranteed. Americans, it really comes down to who shows up the polls, who's motivated, who's going to get out there and vote. And so if you love the direction the country's going, then you need to get out there and vote and encourage your friends to. And the work starts today. Really, there's no break every 2 years in a congressional election cycle.
And that's fair enough. And I know we've got the big race, the gubernatorial race coming up in the Commonwealth of Virginia. That's going to be a very closely watched race. A lot of people wondering, okay, is that a bellwether? I don't think it is. And the reason why is you guys in Kansas have the same problem that that Virginia has. One election cycle, you guys are all Republican and the next Democrat, and there doesn't seem to be any rhyme or reason to who gets elected or why.
No, Kansas historically switches back and forth between Republican governors and Democrat governors, and so sometimes it's just luck of the draw, and really it depends on the personality who's running as well. People vote on personality. Often facts don't convince people. People change people, and sometimes people just vote for people they like.
We're getting some hate mail, Dieter. This coming in from Jeff. Starnes, please stop being a cult member and think for yourself. What does Trump have on you? He endorsed my book.
Well, you can't argue with facts. That's what people resort to.
Well, it's a fair exactly, and that's the issue. You've got all the haters out there, the attackers, and they really have no leg to stand on, right? So they just like to come after you and call you whatever. So anyway, good try there, Jeff. But thank you for listening. And if you listen long enough, Jeff, you might come to the right way of thinking.
I think you've been called much, much worse.
Oh, yes. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Excited to talk to our next guest. I have lots of questions. We've all heard the phrase "Make America Healthy Again," and it has become a topic of great conversation and debate around the nation. Callie Means joins us, White House senior advisor for, is it MAHA? Is that what we're calling it? Or
I'm focused on MAHA policies. We're getting wins for the MAHA moms.
Okay, I'm concerned about my Little Debbie snack cakes. All right, are those going to be okay here?
So there's a couple points Bobby's making, Secretary Kennedy, about the Little Debbies. Number one is those snack kits had much different ingredients 30 years ago.
Fair enough.
If you look at the difference between what these were in the 80s and 70s and what they are now, there's double the ingredients, and it's loaded with chemicals that are banned in every other country. So yesterday they talked about the food dyes. These food dyes, petroleum-based, phased out of every other country, lead to ADHD, and that is really been the FDA is asleep at the wheel. There are 10,000 chemicals in our food that aren't allowed in Europe. So the other thing I'd say is the U.S. government recommends and subsidizes those Little Debbies. The USDA nutrition guidelines, literally, Little Debbies would fit as an appropriate nutrition item for two-year-olds under the current USDA nutrition guidelines. And when you look at what we subsidize as a country, we're actually subsidizing the ingredients. That's the problem.
So, and I get it. Because yeah. Now, originally, I'm like, okay, we're going to be fighting if you're coming after my Swiss rolls. But the good news is that you got people to think. You guys got people to thinking. And I caught myself. I was at the supermarket, and I'm immediately looking at the ingredients. And I did not do that until RFK Jr. came on the scene and said, hey, look, to your point, we've got a lot of problems. And it is a good question. Why is it that we have so many ingredients and American products, but the same products overseas, not so much?
Yeah, I mean, if those Little Debbies are made with, you know, grass-fed butter and, you know, wheat that isn't sprayed with glyphosate and, you know, a bunch of other crap, and, you know, actually, dessert can be healthy. Like they eat dessert in Italy and France.
Sure.
And yeah. they live 7 years longer than Americans. They're eating pasta, right? So it really is this awakening. And when we look at the first 100 days of the administration, Secretary Kennedy has exerted real power. I mean, the food dye and then the SNAP reform, getting sewed off SNAP, were two big ones. But there is a cultural awakening. I mean, I think it's a good thing that we are looking at our ingredient labels, that we are having a little bit more curiosity about what we're putting in our body. You know, Secretary Kennedy took over the Health and Human Services Department, largest budget of any department in government, biggest part of the U.S. budget. 27% we spend on healthcare of the budget. It's 12% on defense. That's because we're getting sick. That's because of what we're putting into our body. 90% of healthcare costs are tied to foodborne chronic diseases. So it's the fact that we're starting to have a conversation. I think that's a real historical accomplishment of this administration, quite frankly, because it's not going to be overnight. But to me, we're putting a stake in the ground that in 10 years, we're going to look back and we're going to be healthier. We're going to have better ingredients in our food. We're going to help American farmers more. So I do think there's a cultural shift happening that's pretty powerful.
So when you look at that move, and I think you're right, it's really going to be a cultural shift.
Yeah.
How long do you think that's going to take? And how long do you think it's going to take for people to embrace the ideas that you guys are putting out there?
Well, right now, about almost 80% of the American people are overweight or obese. Over 50% of adults have pre-diabetes or diabetes. You know, there's real chronic disease issues in the country right now. You know, 50% of men over 40 are on a statin. I will tell everyone, you can reverse those trends very quickly. So, you know, if you, you know, do what Bobby's talking about, you know, go back to whole food, follow what the nutrition guidelines will be saying once he's done with them in the next year. You can personally reverse a lot of the biomarkers of chronic disease very quickly, within a year. As a country, I do think that this is quick wins, and I do think that getting food chemicals in a better place, you know, SNAP, that's huge. Taking soda off, you know, this is a free country. Absolutely, President Trump should enjoy his Diet Coke. You know, Coke should be legal. But we shouldn't be subsidizing that for lower-income kids. I mean, we the top item on food stamps is soda, and then 80% of those kids are on Medicaid, on SNAP, and then Medicaid is $1.3 trillion in our budget, all tied to chronic disease. So it's like, you know, changing these incentives, as Bobby's doing, will produce demonstrable change for the American people quickly. But I think the real signal of success is I believe when history looks back at this administration, we will see reversing of the chronic disease crisis, and that will be a true generational accomplishment.
No, look, I give credit to RFK Jr. I have reintroduced myself to the produce section of my grocery store, you know, and it's but you know, it's a great point because, you know, if you are healthy, if you're out exercising and you're taking care of yourself, you're not going to have to worry about those big health care expenses. So, I mean,
right.
There is, you know, there are much bigger issues, broader issues at stake here.
Yeah, I mean, it's very interesting. Secretary Kennedy was sworn in. They signed an executive order, President Trump, to get to the bottom of and really the trend lines of chronic disease. One thing that stands out to me in this report that's going to come out May 22nd is Spain has a terrible healthcare system. Like, they're socialist. It's not a good system.
Right.
But they spend five times less per capita on healthcare than the United States. They live 6 years longer.
So, like, it's not a health. This is a big thing I think Secretary Kennedy's ushering into culture. We should reform and modernize our healthcare system, but that's shuffling chairs in the Titanic to some degree. We're sick. And I think opening that conversation up is really important because our outcomes are just substantially worse than other countries.
I mean, the idea, did you ever imagine that we would be in a country where people would be celebrating morbid obesity? I mean, that is a dangerous path to go down.
Yeah, this isn't about lecturing anyone. And, you know, no. You look at kids, you know, you obviously have obesity crises and pre-diabetes crisis among kids. You know, again, I'm a free market guy, personal responsibility guy. But, you know, when there's an epidemic of these issues among kids, there's clearly something happening. I just think there's clearly, I think it ties into the MAGA thesis that we've got some swampy situations happening. We've got some co-opting of our institutions. I mean, I can tell you from, you know, seeing inside the HHS, that place has been a wholly owned subsidiary of the pharmaceutical and insurance and hospital industries that have many good people in them, but do profit from people being sick, just demonstrably. So it's not pointing the finger at them. It's not pointing the finger at the American people. But I think everyone wants a little bit of an unwinding of this situation that will bankrupt the country. I mean, these healthcare costs, they're not going down right now, right? They're going to bankrupt the country. We have to get healthier. And then I think there's a conservative, quite frankly, vision that President Trump and Bobby Kennedy are putting forward. Let's start with education. Let's start with the right science and our nutrition guidelines. Let's cut the incentives to bad stuff. You know, with the crop subsidies, more than 90% of all crop subsidies go to corn, soy, wheat, the components of ultra-processed food. 0.4% go to fruits and vegetables. 0.4% of crop subsidies. So we just have bad federal school lunches. Federal school lunches are a more than 10 times larger fast food program than all of McDonald's. They're the largest food vendor in the country, and they have no nutrition guidelines. There's no sugar limits for. So I think one point, particularly getting to school lunches, that the administration is making is it's a free country, but the payer can have an opinion. If we're buying the school lunches, if we're paying for SNAP, you know, there should be some basic nutrition guidelines that, at the end of the day, will incentivize and help American farmers. That's what it's all about. I believe that after this MAHA is all done, we see American farmers as more part of the healthcare system and are helping them. They're struggling right now. We need to help them and stop paying for all the drugs on the back end once people get sick.
Well said. Yeah. I can see the passion. This is an exciting time. Again, celebrating the first 100 days of the administration, and you guys are crushing it.
Well, thank you. I mean, you know, I really do feel like President Trump and Secretary Kennedy are fighting against. I think they're demonic forces, not individuals, but forces that profit from kids being sick. When you look at the gender transition, when you look at the breakdown of our education system, when you look at health. But I'm very optimistic because we've got fighters in this White House.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
Callie, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. That was Callie Means, the White House senior advisor for the Make America Healthy Again movement. And Dieter, I got to tell you, I think he was like, dude, I'm not exactly, you know, a marathon runner over here. And I felt I was being judged.
Really? Well, here's the deal.
I felt uncomfortable.
The
guy was like, I smell barbecue sauce. Where's that coming from?
He's like, you're definitely from Memphis, Tennessee. But we take pride in that. We like our food. But
what are you laughing at, Glasscock?
Well, now you're talking about Memphis food. Kansas City barbecue is far better. And I'll fight that on any hill.
Okay, that's blasphemy. Just shut off his microphone, Todd. Unplug the cord.
Yeah, you're done here.
Yeah.
Glasscock, that's how easy it is. That's security. All I had to do for the last 8 years.
Somebody get the Secret Service.
So
the Comrex goes out again.
Yeah. I mean, he's a doctor, and like, he's a co-founder. He's done all sorts of different things, a former food and pharmaceutical consultant, so he knows of what he speaks. It's neat that he has a seat at the table when it comes to our food and big food, which is a real thing.
Again, and the idea here is that the food, they've basically been poisoning the American people, and this has been going on for a very long time, and now something's being done about it. And I liked that message coming out of the Health and Human Services Secretary.
Yeah, and also, he raised a great point. It's not that you can't ever have sweets again. It's just, let's clean up those ingredients a little bit, which was huge news, by the way, that, you know, RFK Jr. announced that they are going to start phasing out some of these really poisonous dyes. Also news that he called sugar poison. I don't know. That might be a bridge too far. But there is better versions of sugar than some of the other alternatives that they're injecting into our food.
Well, and healthy people make healthy communities and a healthy nation. And if you don't have a healthy people, you're not going to have a healthy country as a whole. And not healthy a country in terms of just people's personal health, but a healthy country in terms of economic vitality, in terms of operations, in terms of just the economy in general. And so really, I think this is a bipartisan issue. People universally, whether you're Republican or Democrat, want healthier options, and they also believe that it's a responsibility of government to protect them when they go to the grocery store to make sure they're not putting harmful chemicals into their body.
Yeah, fair enough. It's a good point. All right, guys, we got to take a break. By the way, Pope Francis, the funeral services this coming Saturday, so a lot of Catholics around the nation are in mourning. You know, it's interesting. Then as soon as the funeral is over, the cardinals will get together and they'll figure out who the next pope is going to be. And they will basically conclave behind closed doors. You know, it's interesting, Dalton and Ben, the Southern Baptists do something very similar when we have to pick a new president. Except in our instance, whenever there's white smoke coming out of the barbecue pit, that's when we know we've got our new president.
Unfortunately, that's probably not Kansas City barbecue.
I think I got that right.
Guys, are we going to get the American Pope, Pope Dolan? I'm. That would be amazing.
There is probably not, but okay. That would be amazing.
Wouldn't
to actually
cool?
have an American.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go. Hey, guys, we've got one more trivia question, and this is in honor of us being at the White House today, and we've had such a wonderful time. There is a beautiful painting of George Washington. It was completed in 1797, and believe it or not, it was the first piece of artwork that was actually purchased for display inside the White House. Now, during the War of 1812, the British came in, they burned down the White House, but that beautiful painting of George Washington was saved. And we want to know who saved the painting of George Washington from the White House in 1814.
That's a better question.
If you know the answer, give us a call, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. We are broadcasting live from the White House, wrapping up our afternoon here, and then heading back to Memphis tomorrow morning. So we'll be back doing the show tomorrow morning from our Memphis studios. But right now, I want to go to the phone lines and say hello to Carolyn from Hendersonville, North Carolina, listening to us on WHKP. How are you today?
Doing fine. I hope you're enjoying your visit to Washington.
You know, we're having a great time, and the hospitality here is just, well, you know, it's the White House, so they take really good care of you, and they've taken, you know, great care of our team. Caroline, Carolyn, we're going to help you win a prize here. We talked about that beautiful painting of George Washington saved from the White House before it was burned in 1814. Do you know the name of the person who saved that painting?
Well, Dolly Madison had it painted, I think, and so she wanted it saved. So she had them put it to where it'd be safe.
Well, yes, ma'am, Ms. Carolyn, you know your history. That's exactly what happened, August 24th, 1814, and Dalton, the British came in, those sorry so-and-sos, and they burned down our beautiful White House, but by golly, they didn't get the painting of George Washington.
If you ran out of your house tomorrow, what would you save, Todd?
Oh, I've got a nice Thomas Kincaid painting of a steamboat.
Yeah, people may not know that you like some fine art.
I like a little bit of artwork.
A little here and there.
Yeah, I don't, you know, maybe I'd bring my Bible. I'd save my Bible. Is that a good answer?
That's a good answer.
That's a great answer, actually. Carolyn, congratulations. We're going to hook you up with one of my books, and so we're going to put you on hold, and Ben Diener will get all of your information. And we certainly appreciate you listening to us today and all of our great listeners. I know we had a lot of folks on hold there, Bo in Georgia, and Bo in Louisiana, Seth in Georgia, and Jeff as well in Gainesville. you know, Dalton, it's fun to get out on the road. It's always good to get back home. But this has been a great trip to Washington.
It has been. And I think you head back early tomorrow morning. I do the same. And we get in and out of Washington, and we get to go and enjoy real America.
Yeah, and that's the point of it. You know, Donald Trump, I think, when you go back and look at that incredible campaign he ran, it was in the heartland. And Donald Trump went where many Republicans had never gone before. And I think that those voters rewarded him for that. So as we reflect on this 100 days, and the official 100 days is coming up next week, but we are here really kicking off that celebration. Because I've never seen anything like this in modern American political history, where a president has come in with such a ferocity and also with a mandate to get things done.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, he had 4 years to learn the system, learn how to navigate Congress, learn how to navigate the judiciary and everybody else. And so he came in prepared and he came in ready to go.
Susie Wiles, how important is the chief of staff to the operation?
Single-handedly, the chief of staff is the most important position for the president. They run the operations, and if you have a smooth operation, you have a smooth White House. It's not of no credit to Donald Trump, but it's a credit to the chief of staff.
She's running the show here, and she's an incredibly kind person, but I'm telling you, she rules with an iron fist.
You are who you surround yourself with.
And I think that shows there has been discipline, you know, in this White House. There have been a few hiccups, but it's really phenomenal when you look comparing the administrations. Susie Wiles, great job.
She ran a great campaign.
She certainly did.
White House.
She certainly did. All right, Dalton Glasscock, great seeing you, sir. And you're back to Wichita, so all of our good listeners on KQAM, they'll see you are walking around the neighborhood.
See you tomorrow, Wichita.
Oh, that's it. All right, and we're back in Memphis tomorrow as well, where we will continue the conversation. A lot of great stories. Just a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, you can go to our website. And we have the podcast all 3 hours. You'll be able to listen to it, download it free of charge. Also, the Todd Stearns newsletter that comes out every morning. And I hope that you will get yourself a free copy of that. Sign up. Over 200,000 Americans now subscribe to our daily newsletter. All right, that music means we've got to scoot out of here. It has been a lot of fun here at the White House. We thank you for listening. Thanks for being a part of our great show. Thank our great team back in Memphis at HQ. Folks, get out there and you be good, America.